Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Vav. We're at the Mishnah, 12 lines from the top. It says the Mishnah, Shaver Adam Asachavis. One may crack open a barrel which contains figs. So you can use a knife, you can use a spear to crack open his barrel, Lechol Heimena Gregoris. To have access, to be able to eat the figs which are contained within this barrel. Now there's no concern of malacha here. The Ran explains because he's merely being mekalkel. He's demolishing, he's ruining something. In which case, generally it would be an issa d'rabbanan, the Ran says, but since it is letzurich Shabbos, it is for the sake of Shabbos use, he needs to have access to his food in this chavis. The Chacham allowed him to go ahead and demolish, ruin, break his barrel. Ubilvad, says the Mishnah, provided he must make sure shelo yiskaven lasas kli, then he has no intention of making a kli. Rashi explains this to mean that he's not forming a proper opening, a proper hole. So he's merely breaking it, leaving these jagged edges there, breaking apart the chavis. He's not forming, fashioning, crafting a proper opening to his kli, in which case he'd be doing a malacha. Which malacha would this be? Makah b'patish, meaning fashioning, adding a enhancement, adding a feature to a kli, putting the finishing touches on a kli. That's called makah b'patish. So you can't go ahead and form an opening. He merely could break a piece off the side of his chavis to have access to the food therein. Continues the Mishnah, ve'ein noikvin megufa shel chavis. Likewise, one cannot puncture the lid of a chavis. Devar Rabbi Yehuda. Chachamim matirim. The Gemara will explain exactly what the circumstances are here. V'lo yikven amitzida. Now all agree you cannot puncture a hole on the side of it. Now what are we speaking about? The Gemara will explain whether we're speaking about the side of the lid or on the side of the actual barrel. Continues the Mishnah. V'im hoysen nekuva. Now if this barrel already had a puncture, it was very perforated, and he'd like to plug it up, lo yitein ole hashava, he may not place wax on it, because he's going to be smearing it, in which case it's a malacha, malacha of memachik. Om Rabbi Yehuda, ma'asa bo lefnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. There was a story that came before of Yochanan ben Zakkai Ba'arav, when he was in this town Ba'arav, where a person plugged a hole using wax, ba'omar. Rabbi Yochanan responded, I'm concerned. Perhaps he's liable to chatas. Perhaps he did a malacha. Fine, he plugged up the hole. That wouldn't be a malacha. But perhaps he smeared the wax around the opening of the hole to properly smooth it with the attach it to the wall of the chavis, in which case he would be doing a malacha. Let's take a look at Rashi here, who is seven lines from the top. Beginning with the words Shaver Adam Chavis, Malaya Groigroi, so this chavis is full of dried figs, Bisakin, Oy Bisayev, so he uses a knife or a sword. He cracks open his barrel, Lechol, Mimena Groigroi, to extract from it the figs, Dein Bimakalkal, Shum Isser Bishabbos, because this fellow was merely destroying. That doesn't entail any Isser on Shabbos. Now apparently Rashi holds that there isn't even Isser Drabbanon. The Ritva points out, it seems that there's no concern whatsoever, because Rashi holds that there's no concept of binyan, building, or steer, or demolishing when it comes to a kli. So Rashi, Lishi Tasa, according to his opinion, holds that demolishing a kli doesn't even involve Issad Rabbanon. But as we said, the Ran, for instance, learns in Rashi that there is an Issad Rabbanon, but that was mutter because of the Tzorech Shabbos. Continues Rashi, Vavashalei Iskaven Lasis Kli, he shouldn't have the intent to make a kli, so he can't involve himself in fashioning, in crafting this nice opening, to create this nice opening, this properly formed hole. A noikvin megufa, he cannot make a hole in a lid, hadvuka b'fi achavis, which is on the top of the mouth of the, attached to the mouth of the chavis. Lazis nekev, he can't make a nekev. Ela noitelas kula. He simply removes the entire lid to open the barrel. Aval ki nokivla, but if he would perforate the lid, misak and pischa, he's fashioning an opening. V'chachamim atir. So this was Shitas of Yehuda, who says it's considered making a Pesach. Chacham say no, there's no concern. De'ein derech Pesach l'chavas bekach. This is not the ordinary way of making a Pesach, an opening for a chavas. Nobody makes a hole in the lid. You want to open your barrel, instead of making a hole in the lid, just remove the lid. So it's not really serving a purpose to have a hole in the lid. Additionally, if he's getting involved in adding another hole, another opening, another spout to his chavis, then let him make it in the actual body of the barrel. Why is he making it on the lid, which is something which is makeshift? It's here today, gone tomorrow. Let him put the effort in the actual body of the chavis. So in any case, there's no concern here, according to the Rabbanon, because this is not considered to be adding a feature enhancement to the barrel itself, and therefore there's no malacha. V'lo yikvena mitzida, gemara mefarshlo. The more explain exactly what this means. So you shouldn't use wax to plug up the hole. Mipnei shum emareich. V'yesh kam shum emachik. This involves the malacha emachik. So the story came before Rabbi Yechem Azake Barav. Rashi says Medina, a province, mechatos, so he was concerned, perhaps, this fellow is chayev achatos. Shema mireich ha-shava, perhaps, he smeared, he smoothed out the wax, l'doiv k'bedoif naklis avanekev, to attach the wax on the doif nekle and the walls of the kli, surrounding the hole which would be involved, which would involve a melacha of memachik. Let's go back to the Gemara. It says the Gemara, Omar v'yoshe, lo yishanu, this allowance to break a barrel using, for instance, a sword. So one is actually moving this tool, the sword, to crack open his barrel. This is only allowed, loishon el drusos, if he's trying to extract those pressed figs. So drusos are the dried figs, which were drusos pressed together in a glob, in which case he needs this tool, this sword, to cut it apart. So since he's already handling the sword for the sake of separating, cutting apart those figs, then he's allowed to use it to crack the barrel open as well. Avol meforodos. But if those dried figs are not globbed together, not stuck together, they're separate, in which case he doesn't need a tool to separate them, loy, then he's not allowed to be metaltel the saif, the sword, to crack open the barrel. And Rashi already gives us a hint, because we're working with Shitas of Nechemya, who holds that any type of utensil, even a dvar het, even a permissible utensil, can only be handled for the sake of its defined use and purpose. Chachamim, the Rambam explains that there's the issur of moving around stuff on Shabbos is out of concern that he might get involved in doing malachis, he might get involved in just transporting stuff on Shabbos. So the Chachamim gave us a special allowance to move around things that we need. Rabbi Nechemya takes it a bit further. You can only move an item for the sake of its defined purpose. Otherwise, it's not included in the heter of tilting on Shabbos. Perhaps he regards that as merely transporting things around because it's not for its designated use. It's not called a shimush, using this object properly, and therefore it is muktzah on Shabbos. So again, if he needs this tool, he needs the sword for the sake of cutting apart his figs, in that case, since he's already holding it for that, he may use it to extract it, to open the barrel up, to crack open the barrel. But if he doesn't need it for the figs because they're sitting separately, they're mefurados, no tool is required, then he cannot even handle the sword for the sake of cracking open the chavis because it's not its defined purpose. Says the Gemara, umefurados loy, is that the case that separate figs would not allow him to handle the sayif, the sword, to crack open the barrel? Meisve, you have a kasha from a brayse. Rab Shim Gamliel Oimer, maybe Adam es achavis. Shel yayin, a person may bring a barrel of wine, umatez roisha besayif, and he could slice the tip, the head of the barrel with a sword, umanichel fnei orichim b'shabbos, and present it to his guest on Shabbos. Ve'en achoshish, and he has absolutely no concern. So obviously, using a saif, a sword for this purpose, entails no iser. Says Ma'hi Rabbanani. That Bryce is following Shitas Rabbanon, who have no concern, no reservation regarding using a kli, even if it's not for its defined and designated purpose. Masis Rabbi Chemi, however, our Mishnah is reflecting Shitas Rabbi Chemi, who limits the use of items on Shabbos to their defined purpose. Says the Gemara, Umay Duchei de Rabbi Yishya. What was pressing Rabbi Oishir l'ukmir masnis is Rabbi Nechemya to interpret our Mishnah in accordance with their view of Rabbi Nechemya, who limits the use of objects on Shabbos. How do we know that our Mishnah was following that shita? Ubedrusos, and we're speaking specifically when we have those figs which were clumped together. How does he know? Lukma b'mufarad is for Rabbanan. Why can't he interpret the Mishnah in accordance with shita's Rabbanan, who allow even carrying the sayif to crack open a barrel which contains mufaradis, figs which are lying separately? Amar Rava, you know why? Masis and kashisi. Because the wording of the Mishnah appeared difficult to Rav Yeshia. My area, the Tani Groigrois, why does the Mishnah specifically choose to describe this Chavis as containing Groigrois? Listen to Peiros. Why speak about dried figs? Just simply say it has Peiros inside. Why get so specific? Elosh Mamino Bedrusos. Apparently the Mishnah is indicating that we're speaking about figs, dried figs, which were lumped together in a glob and needs to be separated using a tool, and that's why he's allowed to move around this tool for the sake of those figs, and on the way he can use it to crack the barrel as well. Continues the Gemara, Tanya Chada, we have in one braisa which says, Chosoles shel groigrois. So chosoles are these makeshift baskets made from palm branches in which they would put unripe fruit, Chosoles shel groigrois, of these dried figs, or shel tamarim, of dates. So they would place these unripe fruits in there to sit there and to warm up and to ripen. Now when he's ready to access his fruit, how does he do it? Matir has a choice. Either matir, he can untie those baskets. Umafkia, or he can just take them apart, collapse them. V'chaytich, or he can actually cut through it. Now, matir, untying, he can do with his hands. Mafkia, collapsing it, or v'chaytich, cutting it, Rashi explains to be referring to using a kli for that purpose. Vitali, we have another bais which says, matir, he can simply untie it, but he can't collapse it with a kli, nor can he cut through this basket. So apparently, there's a limitation here, and there's a stira between both braises. One brais allows all three methods, the second brais limits. Loikasha, once again, we'll resolve it as follows, that they reflect those two opinions, har rabbanon, har mechemya. The shita of Rabbanan allows using even a kli, for instance, a knife, for this purpose, although it's not the intended designated purpose of a knife, to cut through baskets. Whereas Rav Nechemya limits the use of a knife only for its designated purpose, to cut bread, to cut meat. Therefore, he doesn't allow use of a knife to undo this basket. The sanya is willing to the brayso of Rav Nechemya, ayma, afilu tarvet, even a spoon, afilu talis, a garment, afilu sakin, or a knife, ein nitolin elu tzorch tashmisha. It can only be handled if his intent, purpose, is to use it for its designated use. Continues the Gemara, Boi Minei Rav Sheshes. So they ask the following question of Rav Sheshes. Let's just give a quick intro here based on what we learned in the Mishnah. One can crack open a barrel because he's merely accessing the content of the barrel. It's a destructive, act of destruction. As opposed to making a nekev, a pesach, Noer Rashi said, that he can't do. He can't form, he can't fashion a nice opening, a nice hole, because that's a constructive act. That's enhancing the appearance and the function of this kli. That's called a malach of makav patish. So destruction is allowed. Construction is unallowed, is disallowed, is prohibited. What about something in the middle? What about, this Gemara is going to ask, regarding taking a spear and poking it through the side, the walls of this barrel? So he's not forming a nice, a pleasant-looking opening. It's not this small puncture. It's this rather large hole with some jagged edges. So you can look at it either way. Is he coming to fashion an opening to the chavis? Is he coming to enhance the function, coming to add a feature, and it's a malacha? Or perhaps he's merely breaking it open so that the wine can flow out freely in abundance. So it's an act of destruction, or is it considered to be a positive act and is a malach? Boy minei Rav Sheshes. Mao lemivras chavisa. What is the halacha regarding puncturing a barrel beburtia b'shabata? Beburtia is this spear. On Shabbos, may one do this or not? Lefischa kam mechaven v'aser. Do we say, well, do we characterize this act? Do we define it as a kavana of a pesach, that he's forming an opening He's making a nekev. And therefore, it would be asr. Or dilmo, perhaps, la'inofik ha'machavim. He's merely expressing his good eye, his generosity. He wants the water to flow out, the wine to flow out in abundance, perhaps. He's using it to serve his guest. In any case, the point here is merely to get the wine out. It's an access route to his wine. He's not coming to enhance the barrel. So it's an act of destruction, so to speak. Vum vashari, and it's mutter. So it's a medium-sized hole, jagged. So it can be viewed as perhaps forming an opening, a pesach, adding and enhancing his chavis, or perhaps it's merely an access route to his wine. Amar lei, so if Sheshes responded, Amar lehu, Sheshes responded to them, lepischa kamechavim v'asim. It's considered to be a pesach. We define, we characterize this as the formation of an opening. He's enhancing the chavis, he's adding another feature, another way to get the wine out, and therefore it is asr. Meisvei. So you have a kasha from a brice. This is the brice we mentioned earlier. Reb Shimon le Leimer. Maybe other chavis shel yain. A person may bring a barrel full of wine. Ooh, matiz roisha b'sayif. And snap off the top of the chavis using a sword. Apparently, forming this opening, this hole, is not regarded as a malacha. So why is this different in our case of the spear? Says him, what is the difference? Why? Hasam, in that case, as Rashi explains, he is chopping off the top of the barrel right underneath the lid. Apparently the lid is not large enough. The hole there wouldn't be adequate to pour out the wine in abundance. So therefore he cuts right below the lid where the barrel widens a bit. This results in a wider opening. So it's larger than the lid opening. So apparently the point there is on account of generosity. Hasam vaday, certainly la'ayin yafika machavim. Hocha, however, in our case where he's putting a spear through the side of the barrel, which results in a smaller hole than the lid, why is he doing this? Why can't he simply, if his intent is merely to have the wine pour out in abundance, it's an expression of generosity, so why does he simply open the lid on top? Why is he forming this new hole, which is a medium-sized hole? If his intent is merely to gain access to his wine and have it pour out in abundance, let him just go open the lid on top. So apparently, he is, for some reason, forming a new opening. He'd like to add a new feature to his barrel and open a new hole on the side of the barrel, and that's considered to be a malach. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. 28 lines from the bottom. Lemivraz litchoiv pundabalas, to put the think through the barrel with a spear, to put it through the walls of the barrel linkaif to make a hole. So the question is, la'ayin yafa? Do we say, well, he's merely trying to crack open his barrel to gain access to the wine so that it pours out in abundance. La'archiv moitza yain, to enlarge the opening, the exiting of the wine, b'nekev godol. So he's trying to make a large exit root for the wine, but the loy nakivle, why should we think so? Because he chose to do it in this way, not in a proper way. The loy nakivle, kederach anoikvin, the way usually you make holes, neck of ogle, a round one, viyafa, and a nicely formed hole. He's using this spear to break open his barrel. Apparently, he's trying to have proper access to his wine. So the Gemara says, well, it's asr. And the Gemara asked, what is this different than slicing off the top of the barrel? Hasam vade, over there, certainly la'in yafakim machavim. His purpose is merely an expression of generosity. He's widening the opening of the kli underneath the lid. As it says, so he's cutting off the top of the barrel, which is the rim of its mouth. So it's where it begins widening underneath the mouth. The point there is, because the lid apparently isn't wide enough, he wants a larger hole. So he cuts off right above under the lid. But in our case, where he's putting the spear through the sides, through the walls of the chavis, if he's looking to have his wine spill out in abundance, let him just take off the lid. Why is he forming this new hole on the wall of the chavis? Apparently, for some reason, he wants to enhance his barrel and add a new feature, a new opening to his barrel, which is considered to be a malach. Continues the Gemara. A noikve megufa. So what about puncturing the lid itself? Rav Yehuda says, it's asr. Chachamim say, it's mutter. So the Mishnah began with that machlekes, and then the Mishnah continued with one more statement. He shouldn't puncture it from its side. The Gemara gave us two approaches to these words of the Mishnah, to the machlekes and the subsequent statement. Amar Rav Huna, machlekes, the discussion, the disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda, who says one may not puncture a lid of a barrel, and the Chacham who allow. What is it pertaining to? Where is he puncturing the lid? Lemala, when he punctures the top of the lid. In which case the Chacham say, why is he making a hole on top of his lid? Let him just remove the lid. That's something which is more commonly done. So if he wants to open his barrel, let him remove the lid. Why is he puncturing a hole? That's not considered to be a proper opening. He's not really adding much to his chavis. He's not enhancing it. It's basically an effort in futility. It's not considered to be a tikkun, a makir b'patish. Aval minat sad, but if he chooses to puncture the side of his lid, tivir kol asa. All agree, even the chacham will agree, it's asr, because there is some sort of benefit in puncturing a hole at that location. Rashi explains, it protects the wine from dirt, from pebbles falling into it. So in this case, he's actually enhancing the performance of his barrel. He's adding a feature, a horizontally formed hole. Therefore, all agree that this would be considered a proper Pesach and a Malach. V'hainu d'tani. That's how we understand the next statement of the Mishnah. Lo yikvenu mitzida. Do make a hole on the side. On the side of what? Of the lid. Because all agree that's called a Pesach. So this is Rav Huna's approach. The Machlokes is on top. Everybody agrees on the side. Rav Chisda Amar, Machlokes Menat Zad. The Machlokes actually pertains to the side of his hole. Rav Yehuda says it's a Pesach because it protects it from the offer falling in. Whereas the Chacham maintain a hole is not meant to be punctured into a lid. If you want to make a hole, make it in the barrel itself where it's a permanent fixture, a permanent feature. The lid, perhaps, is something which comes and goes. Why is he exerting effort into puncturing his lid? So that's not something which is generally done. One generally removes his lid if he wants to open it over there. So it's not considered to be a proper Pesach, and there's no malach involved. But if he punctures the top of the lid, all agree, there's no important purpose there. It's not considered to be a derech of a Pesach. It's not considered to be an enhancement to his chavis. He's not being masakin the kli. He's not really adding much features to his barrel, and therefore it's not a malach. If so, what does the Mishnah mean? When the Mishnah proceeds and says, Lo yikvenu mitzida, don't make a hole on its side, that's referring to puncturing a hole in the actual wall, the side wall of the chavis. That all agrees on malacha, because that's not in the lid. For some reason or another, he wants to add another opening, another passageway to the wine on the side of the chavis. So he's enhancing the actual barrel, is adding a new feature to his barrel, and all agree that would be considered a malacha. So according to Chizkiah's approach, machlokes is puncturing a hole on the side of the lid. On the top, all agree would be asr, and likewise, all agree would be mutter. And likewise, puncturing a hole into the actual barrel, on the side of the actual barrel, all agree is considered to be adding a feature to his barrel and enhancing it in a malacha. So in summary, we learned regarding a barrel which contains food or drink. The Mishnah told us one may break the barrel to get his figs out. According to Nechemiah, he cannot be metaltel a sword only if he actually needs it. For instance, to cut apart those figs. In which case, once he's holding it for that, he can actually use it to break open the barrel. The Mishnah stipulated they must make sure not to have a kavanah to make a cleave, as she explains. He shouldn't make a nicely formed, fashioned opening, that would be considered a malacha. We learned in the Gemara, one can chop off the top of a barrel of wine. That's considered to be la'ayin yafe. He's merely expressing his generosity to have the wine pour out in abundance. Regarding puncturing the doifen of a chavis, a side of a chavis using a spear, we concluded that's asr because that's considered to be forming a new hole, a new Pesach, a new opening to his barrel. Regarding puncturing the lid itself, according to Rav Huna, if the hole is on top of the lid, then we have machlekes. Ravida says asr, Rabbanan say mutter. That hole has not much value. It's not considered to be a Pesach for the chavis. If the puncture is on the side of the lid, all agree that it's asr, because that has value, that's adding and enhancing the barrel. by protecting the content from having fire and matter fall into it. According to Rav Chisda, if the hole is on top of the lid, all agree, it's useless, it's not considered to be a Pesach. If it's on the side of the lid, then we have the Machlekes. Continues the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Brais. A noikvin nekev chadish b'Shabbos. If one has a kli, he cannot initiate a new hole, he can't puncture a new nekev. V'imbolo ha'isif ma'isif. But if he would like to merely enhance it, broaden the hole, widen the hole, that he can do. V'yesh oimrim, a ma'isifin. Yesh oimrim hold, no, he cannot broaden even a pre-existing hole. V'shavin, now all agree, she noikvin nekev yashin l'chadchila. One may unplug a neck of Yashan, so we have a pre-existing hole which was plugged shut, he can unplug it, reopen it, that's not considered to be making a neck. Says the more of a Tanakama, getting back to the Tanakama, who differentiates between initiating a new hole which is Asr and widening a pre-existing hole which is Mutter, what is the difference between the two things? Maishna nekev chadish deloy. Why can't he make a new nekev? To come sak and pischa, because he's fashioning an opening, he's making a tick into the kli. Are you sufi nami? Come sak and pischa. When he's enhancing and broadening, widening a hole, there as well, he's being masak and he's repairing, he's fixing, enhancing the opening. That's considered to be a gmar malacha. Omar Rava, the explanation is as follows. Dvar Torah means min ha-Torah kol Pesach she'eine osu lahachnes lohitzi eine Pesach. Any opening which is not used multi-directional, it's not used in both directions to take things and put in through this hole, and to take things out of this hole, is not regarded legally as a Pesach. In order for this opening to be considered a true, proper feature of this kli, a truly functional opening, it needs to be serving in both directions. That's considered to be a permanent, proper hole of a kli, a proper opening of a kli. It's meant to serve going in, it's meant to serve coming out, in both directions. That's Minat Torah. Rabbanon, however, said, even a single directional hole is considered to be a Isser, we regard as a Pesach, why? On account of a Lul Shatan Golem. Lul Shatan Golem is a chicken coop. There they would make a hole for ventilation. And it's a multi-directional hole, it's a multi-use hole. The Ovid, Li Yule Avir, it's meant to have fresh air come in, ulafuki havla, and to extract through it the hevel, the putrid smell, the humidity within the chicken coop. So it's a multifunctional hole, which is considered to be a proper Pesach Minat Torah. Now, not everybody's aware of the multifunction purpose of this hole, of the Lul Shatan Golem. So the Rabbanu concern, if one can go ahead and make a hole which is single directional, for instance, the opening of a kli, for instance, this hole here that's merely a small hole, it's meant to have the wine come out of the kli through it, it's a single directional hole. In this case, if it would be mutter, perhaps he'll confuse it with a lul shatan golem. Even there, he might go ahead and form that hole not knowing that hole has a double function, a double purpose. So if you allow this, he's perhaps going to form the hole there as well. So on account of that concern, the Chum said even a single directional hole cannot be made on Shabbos. But if he already has a pre-existing hole, he's simply trying to widen it, that he can do. Why? A Sufi, to add, to widen a hole, vaday below Shatan Goylem le'osla Sufi. Certainly, that concern is not present by the chicken coop. He's not going to widen the hole. Why? He's concerned about a creature, a rat, entering through that hole and attacking his chickens. So since the whole Isser of making a single directional hole to puncture a kli, which it's only serving in one direction to have the liquid pour out through it, it's only a single directional hole. If that Isser is only based on the concern that he might puncture a hole, a ventilation hole, in the Lul Shatan Golem, that only applies to a new hole, which one might be tempted and inclined to do that, to form a new hole by the chicken coop. But if there's already a pre-existing hole, he's merely trying to enhance it and widen it a bit, that would be mutter, because there's no concern of one doing that by a chicken coop. He's not going to want to widen that hole for concern of his safety of his chickens. V'yesh aymer, the other shita holds no aymer sif, and he cannot widen the hole in the kli. Why? There is a concern. Zimnen deloy tikna meikara. There's a concern that he might actually do that by a chicken coop. Perhaps loy tikna meikara, he hadn't properly formed the ventilation hole. He didn't make it wide enough to be functional. But aslar buchebe, he might actually go ahead and widen it. So there is a concern of widening even by a chicken coop. Certainly he's not going to make a large hole which will allow animals to enter, but if he made only a teeny hole which is not large enough to function, he's going to be tempted to go ahead and enlarge it. Therefore the Chachamim prohibited even enlarging a single directional hole in a kli for concern that one may go ahead and apply that to a little tiny girl as well. Dorosh of Nachum and Rav Yochanan halacha ki yesh imrim, that one may not widen even a pre-existing hole in a kli. Continues the Gemara. Vishavan, they all agree, shenoik v'neke yashan chatchila, one may reopen a pre-existing hole. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, lo yishanu, this allowance is only said, ela b'makam asur l'shamer, that this hole is present and was plugged in order to be meshamer, to maintain, to safeguard the aroma, the freshness of the wine. In this case, the hole wasn't really plugged so tightly and fastened so properly, in which case, unplugging it is not considered to be really crafting anything and initiating a hole, because you're simply removing this makeshift plug. Aval chazik aser. But if this hole and the plug which was inserted in this hole, so it was plugged up lechazik in order to support the and strengthen, reinforce the barrel, so it was done properly, Rashi says it's a stima malyasa, it's a proper plug. In this case, removing that plug is considered, is tantamount to forming a new hole. Says, well, what do you mean, l'shamer l'chazik, where exactly are these plugs, are these holes found to be found? Hey chidomi l'shamer, what exactly is an example of l'shamer, which is considered to be merely a makeshift plug? Hey chidomi l'chazik, what is an example of this proper plug? Omer avchiza l'malo ben ayayin, the hole which is on top of sea level, on top of the wine, zeu l'shamer, that plug, that closing up the hole was merely intended for the purpose of safeguarding the aroma, the freshness of the wine. So it's not below the wine level, it's above the wine level. So that hole wasn't so properly plugged. Therefore, removing that plug is not regarded as though he's opening and fashioning a hole. However, lamata min hayayin, below water level, below wine level, zeo lechazik, that plug indeed was there to strengthen, to reinforce the barrel, meaning to keep the wine in the barrel. That plug must have been done properly, and removing it is regarded like a Pesach of a Pesach. So according to Rav Chisda, it depends if it's above a wine level or below wine level. Rav Amar, even if it's below wine level, that is also considered to be merely l'shamer, because it didn't need to be plugged so properly. It's not really supporting the weight of the wine. It's merely on the side of the kli. What is an example of the plug which is there to reinforce the kli, to really safeguard that wine and plug properly for that purpose? For instance, if the barrel was perforated and punctured underneath the sediment, meaning only on the bottom of the kli, in which case it needs to be plugged properly because it needs to sustain the weight of the entire content of the barrel, that's a properly formed plug. Removing that plug is regarded as though he is forming a new hole. Omale Abai L'Rava, Tanya the Masailach, I'll bring you a raya from the following brisa to your concept that only a proper plug is considered as though the hole is no longer existing, and removing that plug is considered to be a Pesach. So only something which was properly closed off is considered to be non-existing. The Braisa says, Bayis Sosan, Yeshle Arba Amis. Rashi explains, we're speaking about partners in a courtyard, so each one has his house. They want to split the courtyard between themselves. Halacha is that firstly, we grant a portion of the courtyard per doorway. A doorway needs a service area in front of it. So we grant for each doorway a certain amount of the chatzer area, 4 amas into the chatzer. So we have a doorway. So however wide that doorway is, so we give him an area extending into the courtyard at a distance of 4 amas for each doorway. So that's the first level, first stage in splitting up the chatzer. Then the remaining area in the chatzer is split evenly amongst the partners. The Braisa says, Bayis Sosim. So he has a Bayis whose doorway was blocked off. Is that considered to be a doorway, which grants him that privilege of getting the 4 amas in the chatzer? Or do we say that doorway is no longer in existence? It's not regarded as a doorway. It doesn't have its privileges. Bayis Sosim, Yeshla Abamas. It still has this privilege, this right of getting the 4 amas. Paratetz Psimov, however, if he demolished the doorway, the posts, in that case, the doorway is no longer in existence. Ainloy Daldamas, he no longer has that privilege to receive the 4 amas. Another halacha, a similar concept, Bayis Sosim. This home whose doorway has been blocked off, Ainloy Metamek Hosiyov. It does not impart tuma to the area surrounding it. Rashi explains that there's a tuma around a maze, 4 amas around the maze. Chachamu concerned that perhaps one who gets too close to the maze might hover above it, might become tummy through being an oil. Therefore, within 4 amas, it is metame, a person who gets too close. Now, a caver, a grave, likewise has that tumma. Within 4 amas of the grave, there's tumma. What if the maze is sitting in a home? A home is not a grave. So it depends. If the bayis is sosum, the doorway was blocked off, was closed off, ain't a metame called sviyot. It is not metame. Why? Because it's still a house, it's still a home, it's not a caver. So the area surrounding that home does not have tumma. Because as long as it's still legally regarded as a doorway, this thing is considered a home. Parat es psima, but if he demolished the doorpost, in this case, it is no longer considered to be a home. He blocked off the door completely, blocked it, removed the doorpost. Now we regard it as a caver. So this home has attained the status of a grave, and it's metamikol sviva. And it imparts tumma to the area immediately surrounding it. So Abai says to Rava, I'm proving to you from this braisa that when something was completely demolished, then it loses its status. This doorway is completely blocked off and demolished, and it's no longer considered a doorway. But if it's merely blocked off, but it still has the doorposts, and it doesn't lose its status of a doorway. Likewise, a similar concept when it comes to the plugging of a hole. If it's properly plugged and really fast and tightly closed off well, for instance, if it's beneath the sediment, beneath the shmar, where a proper plugging is required, only then is that hole considered to be gone and not in existence. And reopening is regarded as making a new Pesach. But if it's merely on the side of the barrel, even if it's below wine level, that plug is not really, doesn't really have the same level of the plug on the bottom. It's not really such an enhanced plug, and therefore we consider the hole to be still in existence, and removing that plug does not involve a melacha. So in summary, we learned about making a nekev chadosh in a kli. All agree that's aser. To add, to enhance it, to widen a kli, a hole in a kli, there's a machlekes. Regarding reopening an old hole, so if that plug was merely lishamer to maintain the freshness of the wine, that's not really a proper plug, and it's mutter to remove that. If it's lechazik, if it's there to reinforce the barrel, it's a proper plug. Removing that is considered a malacha. Now, what is the definition of lishamer lechazik? So you have two opinions. One opinion says lishamer means that it's above wine level. The other opinion says, even if it's below wine level, it's still considered l'shamer. What does l'chazik mean? One shita says, if it's below wine level. Rava says, it needs to be on bottom. All the way on bottom of the barrel, only then is it considered to be a proper plug. Continues the Gemara. Guvsa is a kana, a reed, which they would use as a spout for a barrel. Can one use that? Rav, asar, ushmo shari. Rav says you can't, Shmuel says you could. Gemara will explain. Mechateich lechatchila. To go ahead and take a kana and chop it down to size. To kuliyam lepligi the aser. All agree that it's aser. He's been mesakin a kli. Ahaduri. to replace, to return the kana to its place once it was previously used and cut down to size. To kuli amale pligi the shari, all agree, there's no concern, it's mutter. Ki pligi, when is there machlekes, the chaticha, if this kana was already cut down to size, but v'loi misakna, wasn't yet fitted into the chavis, and we're not sure whether it's properly fitting, whether it's, it really has the right size. Can one affix it to the hole of the chavis and use it or not? Man the asar, Shmuel says you can, he holds. Rava says you can, he holds. Gazrinan, one can't use it because we're concerned, Dilma asar lemechta chatchila. Because perhaps he's going to go ahead and cut it down to size. If it doesn't fit properly, he's going to be inclined and tempted to adjust it. And that's a malach. Uman the shari. According to Shmuel, who allows, he says, Loi Gazrinan, we're not concerned about that. Kitanoi, as we find the following machlekes tanoi, ein choitchen sheferes biyantiv, one may not cut a reed, a cylinder, a kana on yantiv, ein tzarachloim b'shabbos, certainly not on Shabbos, because it's involving a malach. Nafla, machzir noise b'shabbos. If it fell out of the barrel, you can go and return it back to its place on Shabbos. There's no concern. Ein tzarachloim b'yantiv, and certainly on yantiv, one's allowed to do that. For Rabbi Yoshi Meikel, the Bryce concludes, Rabbi Yoshi says, it's mutter. Now, he's being lenient with what? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yoshi, ahai, what is he referring to? Ilei ma'aresha, perhaps on the first halacha, of cutting the reed down to size. He allows that? Hokum asakin mana. He's fashioning, he's fixing. Hey, kli. All agree that's asur. Ela seifa. Rather, he's going on the seifa, which discusses returning the kana back to its place in the hole of the barrel. There, he's lenient. Tanakam enami, mishu koshari. Tanakam as well allows. So what's the machlekes? Ella, says the Gemara, rather, evidently there's a third halacha that is contained in this price. The chaticha v'loi misakam, ike benayu. The point between them is the case where chaticha, this kana was already cut down, but wasn't yet affixed to the barrel, in which case we're not sure of whether it's going to be successful or not. Mar sava gazrina, Tanakam says you can't do this because we're concerned that if he sees that it's not fitting properly, he might be tempted to adjust it and cut it down to size. So you can't use this. Umar Savar, the contrast to Rabbi Yeshu holds, like Gazrinan, we are not concerned, and Smut. Dorash of Shisha, Breda of Idi, Mishreda of Yechanan, so he taught Ner of Yechanan, Loch Rabbi Yeshu, there's no concern, one may go ahead and use the Kana even for the first time. Continues the Gemara, Vim Hoysen, Nakuva, the Mishnah concluded, if there was a hole in the barrel, he must make sure not to use wax, because if he smears that wax, he's doing a malacha. Says the Gemara, Mishcha, what about using thick oil, so it's not wax, it's thick oil. Rav Asar Ushmol Shari. Rav says, no, Shmol says you can use it. Man the Asar, according to Rav, who says it's Asar, why? Gazrina Mishum Shava, we're concerned. If he uses this, perhaps he'll use wax, which will entail a Isser Darais. Uman the Shari, according to Shmol, who allows, like Gazrina, we're not concerned about confusing oil with wax. Amrili Rav Shmol Barav Chanel Rav Yosef. Beferish Amrislan, Mishmei de Rav, Mishcha Shari. You specifically told us the name of Rav, that one may go ahead and use thick oil. Omar Tavis Rishpa. His name was Tavis Rishpa, means he was a bird trapper. So he said, Omar Shmo, the name of Shmo. Anu halacha. Haitarfa da asa. This leaf of a myrtle, of a hadas. Aser. One may not affix it into the hole of the barrel to use it as a spout. So the leaf of a hadas was perfectly suitable for this because it can bend, fold up slightly, and serve as a spout, as a spigot. So we can't use it. Why? My timer, Rav Yemer Medifti Omar, he says the reason is Gzeru Shem Marziv. Because if he uses this leaf and forms it in this form of a faucet, of a spout, perhaps this will lead him to actually form and create a proper spout, which is a malacha. Ravashi Amar Gzeres HaMiyikta. The concern is that he might pick it off the branch, in which case it's a Mesakin Kli and it's Aser. So you have two reasons for the Aser. My Binayu. What is the difference between both approaches? Iki Binayu, the difference is the Katim Umanchi. If the leaf is already picked off the branch and just sitting there, so there's no concern of HaMiyikta. But there is a concern, if he can do this, he might go ahead and actually form and create, fashion a proper spout. Continues the Gemara regarding another halacha, Beis Sadia. Beis Sadia Rashi describes as being felt materials which are used sometimes instead of a substitute for a pillow. So can one go ahead and dress himself and these materials and carry it out in Shas Ram? Do we consider it to be a malbush, like a garment or not? Rav Asa, Rav says no. Shmuel Shori, Shmuel allowed. Shmuel considered to be a malbush. Berachin, now, what type of material are we speaking about? If they're soft, berachin, kulam alei pligi d'shar, all agree that it's mutter, that's considered to be a derech malbush. Rashi says it is common to warm oneself up with it, so it's considered to be okay to carry this around. Big caution, if they're stiff and hard, the kulam alei pligi d'asar, all agree that it's asar, that has no resemblance to a garment. Ki pligi, when then is there a chalikas b'mitzi? Just so in the middle, not too soft, not too stiff. In which case, Rav says it's asar. Manda asar. Rav says asar mechzikim masli. It appears like a load. Umanda shari, according to Shmuel, that it's mutter. Le mechzikim masli. It doesn't appear like a load. Rather, we treat it like a garment. Says the Gemara, behold the Rav. This isar that we are quoting the name of Rav, love ferish itmar. It wasn't something which we heard from him explicitly. Ela mechlol itmar. It was derived from an incident. The following story. The Rav Iklal Asur, Rav came to this place, Lo Yahavav Le Ravcha, where he didn't have enough space in the home to sit his Talmidim down. Nofak Yosef Karmelis, he went out and he sat down in a Karmelis in an unfenced area. Isole Beisadios, they brought him this type of material. Lo Yosef, he refused to sit down on the material. Mandachaz, now the person witnessing figured, Savar, he figured Meshum Beisadio Asur, because Rav maintains, one may not wrap himself with this material and carry it just around. Therefore, he didn't want to partake in it. He didn't want to benefit from it because it was brought to him and carried to him. Veloy, but that wasn't the reason, says the Gemara. Meaning, you cannot derive from this story that Rav necessarily holds that one cannot wrap himself with these garments and take it out, because perhaps the reason there was a totally different reason. Veloy, the reason was actually based on another concern. The Rav Achruzi Machruz. Beisad Yeshari, actually Rav announced that wrapping oneself with these materials is actually mutter. So why then didn't he sit on that material? Mishum Kovid Rabbi Seinu Lo Yoshev Alav. On account of the honor of Rabbi Seinu, of our teachers, he didn't want to sit on it. Why? Because he was the only one that had this luxury of these materials, and the other ones didn't. Uman and Nina, who are we referring to? Which Rabbi Seinu were present there, didn't have these materials to sit on? Rav Kana, Rav Asi. So Rashi says they were Talmidei Chaverim. They were student colleagues. So on account of their honor, since they didn't have what to sit on, he refused to sit on them as well. But it's unrelated to a concern of carrying them as Rav, which certainly Rav holds would be mutter. So in summary, we learned three different halachas where we have machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Placing this guvsa, this kana, this reed, this bamboo, which was already cut down to size, but was never actually used. Rav says it's asur, this is a concern, he might cut it down to size. Shmuel says it's mutter. Using thick oil to plug up a hole, Rav says it's asur, for concern that he might confuse it with wax. Shmuel says it's mutter. The Gemara maintains, at least according to one version, that when it comes to these felt materials, which are in between soft and hard, can one wrap himself and walk out and just Rav? Rav says asur, and Shmuel says mutter. When there's another halacha regarding using the leaf of a hadas as a spout for a barrel, according to one sheet it's mutter, according to other sheet it's asur. One reason is for concern that he might fashion a spout. There's another approach that he might go ahead and pick it off the branch. Continues the Mishnah. Noisnin tafshol techabur, when I place a cooked dish, so it's a pot with some food inside, he can place it into a pit, place it down on the floor, b'shvil shei shomer, so that it remains cool. V'esamayim ha'yofim b'royim. Likewise, you can place a container full of drinkable water into royim, into undrinkable water, b'shvil shei tzananu, so that it cools off his water. V'esatzoinim b'chama. Likewise, he can take a container of cool water, put it out in the sun, b'shvil shei chamu, so that it warms a drop, it loses its chill. Continues the Mishnah. Misha nashu kelev b'derech. B'mayim. If one's on the road and his clothing were nashu b'mayim, they fell into water and they're wet, ma'alach ben v'nechoshesh, he can continue walking without any concern. Higel l'chatzach etzoyna, once he reaches the first courtyard of the city, which is a secure area, then he can remove his clothing and lay them out to dry. Shoytchen b'chama, lay them out in the sun to dry. Avoloi kenegdom, he must make sure he's not doing it in full public view. perhaps people will think that he washed his clothing on Shabbos. So in private he can do it, but not in public. Continues the Gemara, Pshita. The Mishnah began, he can place a tafshal in a bar. Why not? Mao the Tamer, perhaps I would say, Nigzo Mishum HaShviyi Gumois, that this wouldn't be allowed for concern that when he places it in the bar, he's going to see something uneven on the floor. He's going to want to place his pot properly. He's going to straighten out the Gumois, those pits, in which case he's doing a Malacha. Perhaps that would be a concern, which would be a reason to prohibit this. Kamashmal, Mishnah teaches us, there's no such concern. Vesamayim Ayafim Beroyim, he can place a container with good water into undrinkable water to keep them cool. Pshita. Why would I think otherwise? Seifa Tzrichalei, the Mishnah speaks about this case on account of the next halach, which is indeed a novelty, a chiddush. Vesatzoinim Bechama, you can place a container in the sun. Then that's mutter. Haname Pshita, this is also an obvious halacha. Perhaps, as the Gemara Ma'od attained, perhaps, Nigzar Mishum Da'os Dilma, Osilat Muni Beremetz, perhaps, he should not be allowed to place in the sun, perhaps. He's going to confuse this with something else. He's going to be matzmin beremetz, insulated using coals, which are muktzah, which may involve the malacha. So if you allow this, he's going to do that. Kamashmon, the mission teaches us, there's no such concern, and he can do this. Misha Nashru, continues the Gemara, Omar Vidom Rav, Kol Mokam She'asu Chacham, whenever the Chachamim established an Isser Mipnei Maris O'ayin, on account of public perception, so that the public will not misinterpret what he's doing, therefore, he must limit his action to prevent misconception. Afilu b'chadri chadarim asr. This iser applies universally, even when he's in privacy. B'chadri chadarim, in the privacy of his inner rooms. The Chacham applied a blanket iser. They didn't differentiate between different circumstances, whether he's in full public eye, whether he's in his private area. They didn't want to differentiate, and they issued a blanket iser. Tanan, we learned Tanan Mishnah, Shoytchen Bacham, he can lay out his clothing to dry in the sun, but not in public view. So apparently we differentiate between something which can be done in public, lest the public think that he washed his clothing, but in private he can do it. So we differentiate between the circumstances. Says more Tanai, indeed, it's a Machalik Tanaim, whether we apply the Isser universally or we differentiate. The son is learned in the price. Shoytchen b'chama, he can lay out his clothing in the sun, but he can't do it in full public view. Rav Lezer Shimon Eisen, they say he can't even do it in private, because we don't differentiate between a public area and a private area. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. We began with the Mishnah, which presented to us a new concept. One may crack open a container if he's merely engaging in a destructive act to access the food within it. He can break a container, a chavis, which contains figs, as long as he doesn't fashion a proper opening, which is a constructive act. It's considered to be a tikkun for the kli. Likewise, he can slice off the top of a chavis shel yayin, because there as well he's merely accessing the wine. It's an act of destruction. He's ruining the chavis to get to his wine. He's not enhancing the barrel, as opposed to making that hole with a spear on the side of his barrel, in which case, that's considered to be a positive act. He's forming a Pesach, which is a Melach. Regarding puncturing the actual lid, we have two approaches. According to Rav Huna, if the hole is on top of the lid, then we have Machlekes, Ravida says Asr, Rabbanan say Mutter, that hole has not much value, it's not considered to be a Pesach for the Chavis. If the puncture is on the side of the lid, all agree that it's Asr, because that has value, that's adding and enhancing the barrel by protecting the content from having fire and matter fall into it. According to Rav Chizda, if the hole is on top of the lid, all agree, it's useless, it's not considered to be a Pesach. If it's on the side of the lid, then we have the Machlekes. Regarding puncturing a new hole on Shabbos, so if it's a multi-directional hole being used in both directions, minatur it's asr. If it's a single directional hole, then it's asr midrabbanan. What about adding, broadening, widening a pre-existing hole? We have a machlokes. Regarding reopening a plugged hole, the Gemara said l'shamer, if it was plugged for the sake of l'shamer, then reopening that is mutter. If that plug was a proper plug for the sake of l'chazek, then opening that would be considered like an initiation of a new hole. We have two definitions of these terms. According to one approach in the Gemara, l'shamer means it's above wine level, in which case the plug is not really properly fastened. One shita says even if it's below wine level, that is also not really considered to be a proper plug. What does l'chazik mean? So one approach says, if it's below wine level, then that's considered to be a proper plug. Rava says it needs to be on the bottom of the barrel, where it needs to be plugged properly to sustain the weight of the entire content of the barrel. We have three disputes between Rav and Shmuel regarding using a pre-cut kana, a bamboo, but wasn't yet used. It was chatech, but not mesukah, not inserted in the barrel, so it's being used for the first time. Rav says it's aser. Shmuel says mutter. Using thick oil to plug up a hole, Rav says aser. Shmuel says mutter. Using these felt material, which are nor too soft, nor too thick, nor too tough, according to Rav, one may not wrap himself with that and walk out on Shesu Rav. According to Shmuel, we regard it as a malbush and it's mutter. Regarding using the leaf of a hadas as a spout for a barrel at machlokes, we concluded with the Mishnah gave us three chidushim. He can place a pot in a burr without any concern of him being tempted to perhaps smooth out the floor of the burr. He can place a container with cold water in the sun without any concern that it might lead him to use coals. And finally, he can take his wet clothing, spread it out in the sun as long as he's doing it in private.